While all eight of Wisconsin's congressional seats are up for election this year, pundits say only one race is likely to be even remotely competitive, the one race where there is no incumbent candidate. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Thursday, October 2nd. And during this half of our On the Campaign Trail segment, we'll talk with a reporter about all of the races, congressional races in Wisconsin, and how the underdog candidates in these races are viewing things and how they're hoping that the pundits are wrong. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions. Are you voting for the incumbent or the challenger in your congressional district this fall? What's the reason? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Bill Leaders, reporter and editor for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. He writes the organization's Money and Politics column and is the author of a recent piece describing Wisconsin's congressional candidates' attempts to defeat incumbents. We have that article posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Congressional candidates hope to defy pundits. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Good to have you back. So we have eight congressional districts that are up for re-election this
year. Correct,
this
all one. Eight. Mm-hmm.
And the only competitive one, at least according to the observers, is the open district.
Yeah, well, according to the pundits who assess these things nationally, prognosticators like Sabato's Crystal Ball and Cook Political Report, they have decided that there really aren't any truly competitive races in Wisconsin and that the only real possible race for more than one candidate to win in their predictions is District 6, which is Senator Glenn Grothman versus Mark Harris, the Winnebago County Executive, in an open seat. That's the seat that that was held by Representative Petri for 36 years.
Yeah, and it's competitive, Harris could succeed.
Well, the predictors say that it's likely to go Republican. Mm-hmm. And what I did in the course of researching my column is I looked at some of the numbers that people look at when they make predictions about races. And one of the measures that I looked at was how voters in that district and in other districts voted in the 2012 Senate race, the U.S. Senate race. There's no Senate race on the Wisconsin ballot this time, but when Tommy Thompson ran against Tammy Baldwin in 2012, I looked at how the congressional districts voted, and also the 2012 presidential race, Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, how it broke down there. And in District 6, there's about a 54-55% Republican edge based on those races. And that was post-redistricting, so that balance will stay the same for the 2014 election on November 4th. So that gives an edge to the Republican. That's one reason why a predictor would say it's more likely to go that way. And another measure is fundraising. As of the last reporting, which brought us through to the third week of July, Mark Harris had only raised about $60,000 to Glenn Grothman's $335,000. Now, Glenn Grothman had a highly competitive primary, and he spent about half that money fighting it. But that does show something of an imbalance there, too. So that's why the predictors call it. Now, understand, I don't predict elections.
Right.
As a reporter, I don't do it. And I never want to do that. And the purpose of this column was to note that this is how the pundits see it, but then to get an additional perspective, that of the candidates, particularly the challengers. And of course, they don't see it that way. They are running to win. They think they have a chance, and honestly, they're right. They do have a chance.
Well, we'll talk about that, but why is it that the conventional wisdom is, anyway, that the incumbent is going to win in all of the cases where there is an incumbent?
Well, the value of incumbency is great. I mean, just being able to say that I'm already the person who has this seat is huge in any election. It's a little bit ironic that it's true for congressional races. Last time around in 2012, 90% of the House incumbents who sought re-election were reelected. Now, understand this is happening at a time of historic low public opinion of members of Congress. It's just in the gutter in terms of people's opinion, not just of Congress as an institution, but of their own representatives. And yet they get reelected almost uniformly.
And let's talk about those underdogs in Wisconsin's congressional races. And why don't we start with the first congressional that this is a longtime Republican Congressman Paul Ryan's mm-hmm. Seat. He a former vice presidential candidate, for goodness sake. Is he vulnerable?
Well, if you ask his Democratic challenger, Rob Zurbin, the answer is absolutely he's vulnerable. Rob Zurbin ran against Paul Ryan in the last election. He did not win, but he is obviously better known now than he was then by virtue of his last campaign, and is making a all-out effort to unseat that incumbent and putting out a message that he thinks will resonate and that voters will accept. It's not a race that these predictors regard as close. If you look at money, it's a blowout. As of that last reporting that I spoke of, Rob Zurbin led all of the challengers, period, to Wisconsin congressional races in fundraising with about $750,000, $776,000. But that's against $7.2 million that Paul Ryan has. So it's nowhere close. He's being outspent by 10. Could potentially be outspent by 10 to 1.
Yeah. And he does this. This is what is at least his third run, isn't it, Bill?
I think he might be. Yeah, I think he's run a couple of times before.
Yeah. And he says that he certainly thinks he has a chance.
Yeah, challengers tend to. As a reporter and talking to people who run for public office in long shot campaigns or third-party candidacies, occasionally I will encounter someone who says, I know I'm not going to win, but there are other reasons that I am running, to raise issues, to provide voters with an alternative. But most of the time, and certainly in the congressional races here, the challengers will maintain that they are in it to win, that they think they can win, that they want to win, they're running to win, they're doing everything they can to win, and that's the outcome that they expect.
Let's take a call from Bernie in Elkhorn. Hello, Bernie.
Hi, good morning. Bill, I love to read your columns on Wisconsin government, et cetera. They're always wonderful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I wanted to say I'm going to be voting for Rob Zurbin, and I have not looked at his website this time around, but I think one piece of attack point he could use on Paul Ryan's record is that back around 2003, Paul Ryan's on the record saying that he thought Saddam Hussein was as dangerous as Adolf Hitler. And, of course, that invasion and occupation has caused trillions, thousands of dead Americans, and tens of thousands of injured, and hundreds of thousands on the other side. I don't know why these challengers probably, and again, I'm speaking, I haven't looked at his website, probably don't bring that up. I think it's something that would resonate with some Republican voters that don't like the expenditure of money for war. But I have this feeling that people like Rob Zurbin are afraid to be called unpatriotic, whereas I think it would be a huge strength.
Do you have any thoughts on that, Bill?
Yeah, I think, we're at a time where there are really huge decisions being made about our country's military involvements in the world, decisions that may commit us for another decade or more. So it's tremendously important how all of the candidates view these issues, whether they support a deepening U.S. Involvement in Iraq or in Afghanistan or in other parts of the world. And they do diverge on these issues. So you think that these would be pivotal contests because of what is at stake nationally. But you still are up against the fact that the races are not likely to be upsets. They're not likely to be competitive if you look at certain metrics.
Well, we'll talk about the other congressional races on Wisconsin's November ballot as we go along, talking with Bill Leaders, who wrote a piece on Wisconsin's congressional candidates and the attempts of challengers to try to defeat incumbents. And we welcome your questions for him. We welcome your thoughts, your votes in your congressional district. Are you going to be voting for the challenger in your congressional district in November or the incumbent? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are on the campaign trail taking a look at the congressional races in Wisconsin with Bill Leaders, a reporter and editor for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. He writes the organization's Money and Politics column, author of the recent piece, Congressional Candidates Hope to Defy Pundits, which describes Wisconsin's congressional candidates' attempts to defeat incumbents. So let's we've talked about the first, we've talked about the sixth. Let's just very quickly go through the other races in the second. What do we have going on in the second? That's includes Southern Wisconsin and the city of Madison.
In Madison, Mundine County. Yeah, Mark Pocan was elected to that seat, which is formerly held by Tamley Baldwin. He's being challenged by Republican Peter Theron, who has run for that seat before in 2008 unsuccessfully. It's a deeply Democratic district, and Mark Pocan enjoys a enormous fundraising advantage.
Yeah, and Theron, though, thinks he can win.
All of the challengers think they can win. I didn't talk to Peter Theron personally on this race, but that's the that's the message that they bring. And as I said before, they're right. I mean, these elections are not up to the pundits; they're up to the voters. And if the voters choose to vote for the outsider long shot candidate, they can win.
All right, and then in the third, we have Democratic U.S. Representative Ron Kind. Who's challenging him?
He's facing a serious challenge by Tony Kurtz, who is a 20-year military veteran and a an organic farmer, someone who started his own farm, business person. I spoke to Mr. Kurtz. He's very committed to running. He said he has been working full-time as a candidate since January. He's put more than 35,000 miles on his car. He's visited every campus in his district. He's made many appearances, and he's in it to win.
Yeah. And let's talk about Gwen Moore's district in the fourth. Challenger Dan Sebring has been running against her for years. It's his fourth attempt against her. Why is he still trying?
Well, he feels that he's done better in each successive election. He started off as a write-in candidate in 2008, and in 2010, he actually did the best percentage-wise, getting 30% of the vote against Gwen Moore. But it is, again, it's a deeply Democratic district. If you look at the metrics for it, the voters in that district are overwhelmingly Democratic. But again, this is an individual who says that he believes he can win. He's in it to win, and he is trying to bring his message to people so that they will vote for him.
And what do we have going on in the fifth?
The fifth is a race between longtime Republican incumbent James Sensenbrenner and a Democratic challenger, Chris Rockwood. This is another race where the fundraising gap is just enormous. It's basically more than $250,000 in the bank for James Sensenbrenner versus $4,000 for his challenger, Chris Rockwood.
And we have already talked about the sixth, where Congressman Pete Tri is not running for re-election, and we have Republican Glenn Grothman against Democrat Mark Harris. How about the seventh? Now, the seventh is North Central, Northern Wisconsin. that is currently represented by Sean Duffy. Tell us about the challenge there.
Republican Sean Duffy is facing the challenge from Kelly Westland, who is a former member of the Ashland City Council, a small business person. She is, again, running a very earnest campaign, working very hard, thinks that she has a chance to win. In District 7, this district, there is, it's very close politically. This is not an overwhelmingly Republican district, and neither is District 8, where incumbent Republican Reid Ribble is being challenged by an individual, Ron Gruitt. They're very, very close in terms of the percentages of voters who leaned Republican in the 2012 elections for Senate and president. This is a function of redistricting. This is how redistricting is done. Partisan redistricting is done, is the people who divide up the districts try to create as many districts that favor their party by a small amount. They know that you only need 50.1% of the vote to win an election. So they cut it very close in terms of creating districts that support their party. And then they dump, in order to achieve that, they dump as many of the opposing party's voters into as few districts as possible. You see districts like District 2 and District 4 in Wisconsin and from Madison area and Milwaukee area that are just, you know, 60-70% Democratic. The voters have been, you know, packed there. Now, there are geographic reasons to do that, too, and it makes sense that no matter how you divide up the districts, some of them are going to be more favorable to one or another party for sensible geographic reasons. But you will see that some of these districts are cut very close in terms of the percentages of voters, and that's certainly true in the District 7 race between Sean Duffy and Kelly Westland.
We have somebody who wants to talk about the districting, John in Racine. Hi, John.
Hi, thank you. You just kind of got to my point. We were talking about why these seem to be imbalanced in cases and the gerrymandering that's taking place. And your guest said by both parties, and yeah, but the most recent was the Republican, and they changed it. So there's really by objective analysis at the national level, not just pundits, people who do it, only one competitive district at this point that you discussed. But it seems like the only chance we have for democracy here is to somehow change, go to a system like they have in Iowa with impartial people. And I wonder if you could discuss the positions of the current congressmen regarding, have they favored or on the record of having some kind of bipartisan or some semblance of judges or impartiality in setting up districts? Where do the people, individuals who are there stand? For instance, where does Paul Ryan stand on that?
You know, I don't know. I can't say with authority. I can't speak to that because it's not an issue that I examined in particular. I will tell you that there does seem to be, as of this moment in Wisconsin, a partisan divide on this issue, that Republicans by and large support the current system of redistricting and Democrats by and large oppose it and call for changes and reform. Now, understand that when Democrats ran the show in Wisconsin, they did not pass redistricting reform. They liked the way things worked when it was potentially to their benefit. So you need to take their support at this present moment with a grain of salt. But generally, there is a divide along partisan lines. Republicans like things the way they are right now, and Democrats want to see change.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, at least some attention was given to the, and you mentioned it to some extent, the 7th District, which used to be for 40 years represented by a Democrat, Dave Obey, and then in the, I guess, the Republican conservative wave of 2010 became Sean Duffy
right.
Won that district. In the redistricting, it was made more Republican. Is what I'm understanding, is that the redistricting...
I think that's true, yeah. Again, though, by a very small margin. It's not overwhelmingly Republican. It is leaning slightly Republican.
Yeah. And the same for the 8th District is...
It's also very, very close. It's like 52% in both the 2012 presidential and Senate races. 52% of the voters in that district voted for the Republican candidates.
Yeah. Well,
but there you've got, you know, a huge imbalance in terms of of money again, which is also a metric that people look at. As of the last reporting, Reed Ribble in District 8 had $1.4 million, and his challenger had raised $2,669.
So, just based on your reporting and your observation, though, does a candidate in a district that leans to one the opposite party and is being has much less money than the incumbent, can that person, even though they think they can win, can they really win?
Yeah, they can. Because as I said before, it's up to the voters. It's not up to the pundits. It's not up to the people who sit on the sidelines and call these things. However, as a reporter, I must note that the people who sit on the sidelines and call these things have a track record of astonishing accuracy in the races that they call, safely Democratic or safely Republican on the national level. These predictors are close to 100% correct in the races where they say someone is likely Democratic or likely Republican. The next set, they're in the upper 90s. Yeah. So, in fact, we have a track record that shows that the people who look at these kind of numbers and make predictions are very often right. Are they necessarily right? No, it's not up to them. Every single citizen has a right to walk into that voting booth and assert their own preference.
We will leave it there. Bill, thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you.
Bill Leaders, reporter and editor for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. He writes the organization's Money and Politics column. His recent piece on the congressional candidates who are trying to challenge the incumbents is posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thanks to Christy Taylor, to Brianne Chasso, and to Cynthia Schuster for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. Tomorrow at this time, we're going to talk about how our brains might be wired for partisanship. That's coming up tomorrow at this time. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.